Okay. So I just like want to circle back on something we've been talking about in our personal life. Mm-hmm. So I've been watching the Fast and the Furious franchise, which yes. I've never seen in my life before.
Yes.
Just finished Fast 7, openly wept. They really go for the jugular at the end of that movie. And that's what I'll say about that. But I'm really, really enjoying this franchise in a way that I didn't anticipate. And I wish that you would join me and report back on it. I like need you to be a part of this.
I told you TBD, like it's coming, but you know, I just need to like find the time to watch 7 full length films. Eight?
You got to keep going. But they go so quickly. You get so involved with them. The weekend that I watched 5, I was like, I don't really have time to watch 6, mm-hmm. but like I'm going to have to because I need more. I need more of this cast and of this storyline. I feel really passionate about it.
Like a summer blockbuster. Like I'm really happy for that for you because like we didn't get that last year. I also feel like in my adult life, I don't know that I've like really dug into or enjoyed like an action movie.
But I haven't had one of those in a minute.
Maybe I kind of welcome it though. Like,
yeah,
I could be here for that. I don't know.
And I think people should welcome it.
Yeah.
But it made me, you know what it made me think about as I'm like watching these movies way after when they came out.
Most definitely.
Like in quick succession is making me think of the summer you and I and two of our homies as like youngsters, the summer between eighth grade and the beginning of high school, watched every Alien film that had been made up until that point.
I thought of this as a shower thought earlier today. When I was in the shower. Yes. Yes. Sigourney.
Sigourney Weaver.
And then yes. I thought about how her real name is Susan. And then I picture her.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. In elementary
Susan
school.
Susan Weaver.
Weaver. Susan. I'm assuming she's
from
Wisconsin.
How did they decide that it was Sigourney? How do you become Sigourney?
I looked this up once. I'm going to try to remember, but I don't really. I feel like maybe it was either a family name or I feel like it was kind of offensive, but I don't want to like throw her under the bus if I'm wrong. I feel like maybe it wasn't family. Maybe it was like, well, I feel like there's like something Native American happening. But if that's not true, then like I'm the one who's being racist.
You're the one who's being racist. Yes,
I made it racist.
You made this racist. Go on.
Wait, hold on. I need to, Sigourney. Just real quick. Weaver. Real name / origin.
I love this important Google happening live.
Susan Alexandra Weaver was born October 8th.
I mean, cool.
Let's see. Oh, wait, hold on. Here we go. Sigourney, taking it from a minor character in The Great Gatsby. Okay. I don't remember.
So you made it racist.
I did. That's the conclusion.
The conclusion is Jamie made this racist. Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
Speculating wildly.
Sure.
A sex manual, you know, from the 17th century.
And remember, the greatest myth about the moon is that America went there in Apollo 11. Good night. Good night.
Oh, yeah, I would slice my hand open for moisturizer.
Well, we've brought it back to blood magic somehow.
It's franchising our platform. We're franchising it, okay?
They're going to break your legs and feed you to the sharks.
No, fuck Barnes & Noble. I never cared about them. I'd throw hands at Dan Brown, okay?
The handsome snakes with wings fucked the women all night. Nobody ever talks about that passage.
Welcome to Why Are You Like This? It's the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our culture, movie marathons on your own timelines out of sync with the rest of humanity, pseudoscience, real science, whatever racist shit your host comes up with about Native Americans in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That is Jamie Ryan just really putting herself on blast in Los Angeles.
And that's Austin Williams teeing me up for it in Chicago.
God bless. I just want to apologize
to Susan Weaver real quick. I'm really sorry that I
Susan, we're sorry. Jamie was like, I feel like this is wrong of you, Susan Alexandra Weaver, born on October 8th. Okay. I really enjoyed watching the Alien films that summer, and I'd never seen any of them.
Alien movies.
Honestly, thrilling. And oddly enough, totally and completely related to this week's edition of Space Camp.
Of course.
Start your engines and put on your helmets, cadets, because in fact, tonight we are talking about aliens, and I don't just mean Susan Weaver. Okay.
Oh my God. I am so excited though to talk about Susan Weaver and aliens. Ugh.
I mean, well, God bless, honestly, truly. So let's jump in there. Like, I would love to. I think we did this when we started with the moon landing, and I feel like it's just the vibe for everything we're talking about this month. I just want to start with a thermometer read from you about, you're like, oh, I love alien movies. I'm just like, tell me what your like thermometer read is on aliens, be it like pop culturally and just like however. Like, what do you want to say about your feelings about aliens?
I feel like as a 90s kid, aliens are really fun. Okay. Like, we had Space Jam, the X-Files was on right when we were going to bed, and that's true. You know what I mean? Like, it was that show
did
that
come on
like,
at like our grade school bedtime. That's
yes, and like my dad would watch it, and I would like try to like linger behind the couch and not be noticed, but I was an only child. Certainly. So like my parents knew that I wasn't in bed anyway. I was never like overly interested in aliens as a kid, maybe beyond what was like culturally relevant because it was like pop culture heavy at the time.
Sure.
But as far as like believing in them potentially, I think that I never really doubted that they were real, but I also never felt worried about it. Like, it didn't consume much of my mind, but I do feel like in all of space and time, surely we're not the only ones to ever exist. And
okay.
Even if like maybe in the like space-time place that we are, we can't find any others and they can't find us. Like, it's a big, big universe, and like time is really long, and I don't know how dimensions work. So I feel like there's somewhere. And that's my firm belief, that there's something else somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think I certainly agree with that too, that I'm like, there's no way we're the only life form just like in the stratosphere.
Especially if you involve time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel that.
Yeah.
Well, to jump us off before I really get into discussion, I thought I would just give us a little bit of, you know, a classic Wikipedia on extraterrestrial life, just to kind of throw down what the general info is if you go to Wikipedia, because I don't know. I think that's kind of telling. So what is extraterrestrial life? Which is what you have to find this listed under on Wikipedia, because aliens, they'll like talk about like, you know, citizenship stuff, or they'll talk about the film franchises. So extraterrestrial life is the search.
Where it's at.
Yeah. So extraterrestrial life, according to Wikipedia, is hypothetical life, that may occur outside Earth and which did not originate on Earth. Such life might range from like simple kind of, they call it like prokaryotes, to the intelligent beings. Cells. Yeah. And even sapient beings, bringing possibility forth that civilizations might be far more advanced than humanity as we know it. Okay. They also mentioned something that the Drake equation, which is some kind of like argument used to estimate the number of active communicative extraterrestrial like civilizations in the Milky Way. So it's people doing like math.
Yeah.
And this came from a guy named Frank Drake in 61. But I'm just noting that the Drake equation speculates about the existence of sapient life elsewhere in the universe. And that the science of extraterrestrial life, and I didn't know this, in all of its forms is known as astrobiology. I'd never heard that.
Oh, right. That's a legitimizing term. I'm here for that.
Yeah. We love a legitimizing term on this podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
So Since the mid-20th century, active ongoing research has taken place to look for signs of extraterrestrial life. This encompasses a search for current and historic extraterrestrial life, to your point of being like, maybe that it's not happening now, but at some point. And a narrower search for extraterrestrial intelligent life. So depending on the category of search, methods range from analysis of telescope and specimen data to radios used to detect and send communication signals.
A brief interjection, if I may.
Yeah.
For example, like less advanced life. When we were in elementary school, I read and did a report on for school.
Yes.
On Mars in the frozen ice caps that they found little cell organisms. That is not intelligent life, but it is previous life that's frozen. And so like that little distinction, I feel like just comes down to like that kind of shit where it's like, is it bacteria on this planet that we've found, or is it like nearly a sapien being?
Well, totally. And so the concept of extraterrestrial life, and particularly extraterrestrial intelligence, has had a huge major cultural impact, chiefly in works of science fiction, some of which you referenced already. And over the years, science fiction communicated scientific ideas, imagined kind of a wide range of possibilities, and influenced public interest in and perspectives of extraterrestrial life. So maybe the perspectives of it being this kind of intelligent thing. And one shared space is the debate over the wisdom of attempting to communicate with extraterrestrial intelligence.
Fair.
And some encourage aggressive methods to try, you know, for contact with intelligent extraterrestrial life.
It's
and
a crapshoot, though. Like, we don't know what's on the other side.
Totally. And others citing the tendency for technology or technologically advanced human societies to enslave or wipe out less advanced societies argue that it may be dangerous to actively call attention to Earth.
Well, here's the thing, real quick. Like, we could be intergalactic slaves for sure to a superior being. But I think it says a lot about people that, like, we instantly fear and assume that someone from somewhere else that we have new contact with would attempt to enslave us. Maybe because that's God what we bless. Do here, but, you know.
You're jumping ahead in my outline, but I'm you're so saying sorry. Things I'm so going to say. Thank you. Okay.
All right.
No, this is real. So I think kind of jumping into some of these larger human visions of things, to your point, and to kind of dive into what you're starting to allude to, that like aliens kind of play into an ultimate human fear. That fear just being that like we're alone. And aliens would mean that like we're not alone. But then they bring up all of these other questions.
It's a huge unknown. And, oh, wow. It's both the solution and a new problem.
Yes. And it brings up the kind of thought. So starting to allude to this of like, are these like super smart beings? Like, are we the top of the food chain? Then becomes the question because we are on Earth, allegedly.
Maybe we are the first. I don't know.
Totally. And so then there's kind of the question of like, okay, well, what would the aliens be? And that's the kind of things we talk like little green men or tiny microbes. Are they going to be like carbon blobs?
Maybe the tall whites or the short grays, according to
We can't know. And we've had all these, to your point, cultural moments of it, of like Men in Black and War of the Worlds, and the X-Files kind of felt like very like pinnacle, I think.
Absolutely.
Alien culture, like in all of that. And then kind of, I don't know, culturally, we've had like a little bit of a shift away from thinking about these because things like terrorists and pandemics kind of took over of like our fears and what we were scared of and like,
I would
the narratives.
Say that, yeah, in media, definitely villains were alien villains, i.e. like Roswell, etc., were replaced by perhaps sometimes terrorist adjacent or implied terrorist villains.
Right, 100%. And I think that that's an interesting shift in these kind of things that we're thinking about. But I do want to dwell just for a second harder into like, why are we envisioning aliens the way that we are? And I actually think I thought a lot about like the search for aliens when I was like looking into this, being also kind of a similar search of like the search for like God or like a higher power.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Prometheus?
No, but you are the second person. No, you're the third person in a recent like span of time who's been like, Austin, you need to watch this movie.
Yeah, so. You should watch it.
Yeah, that's what the kids tell me. So I don't know. Maybe you too, dear listener. Mm-hmm. But it kind of brings up all these like similar questions, similar problems, and perhaps similar solutions or like thoughts. But God, in theory, we always say is like in man's image of himself, mm-hmm. we have like created God, quote unquote.
Absolutely.
And you almost really can't think of something that you don't like project onto just as like a person. It's kind of hard to imagine things you can't comprehend or know or envision them as something completely removed from life as you know it.
And we use ourselves and our own experiences as a default template for like other things that we create or can envision.
100%. But this is where I want to circle on your point of like the idea that like, okay, if there's this like higher, like sapien, like extraterrestrial, like super intelligent, but like smarter than us and more evolved than the folks on Earth. What, like, why do we have the idea that they're traveling like light years to just like come fight us? Like, what? Like,
because we just love to be important. And also, like, well, I don't know.
I think
like
that's
a lot
kind
of
what we do.
It is. Definitely. Like, I think it's like taking global political feelings and applying those fears to like a mysterious, dark, intergalactic force instead.
Yeah. Totally.
That has like and no it's face. It's not even just like it's like a different culture that you don't understand. It's like also you could look like anything.
Totally. And I thought kind of one of the interesting like philosophical kind of perspectives that came from this was like, why do we assume that like aliens are gonna like that arrive here are gonna be smarter than us? Mm-hmm. But then I kind of think it's one of those moments where it's like the obvious answer is like correct. It's like, okay, if the aliens get to Earth, they are smarter than us because like they got here. They like found us because like we haven't found them, bitch.
Wait,
like,
you're right. Or if they like hop dimensions or time travel or do anything
like
that.
We're not doing that.
We don't have any fucking clue how you got here.
No. So like minimum, they have to have like way better tech than us. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Oh, way better tools.
And
something.
They could take us
so
away.
I'm like, yeah.
We could never get back.
I mean, if aliens appeared here, I would have to assume that they're smarter than us just because they, like, got here.
Yeah. Okay. That's very true.
But I want to talk about this kind of shift because I do feel like we were really culturally invested in aliens mm-hmm. in the 80s, in the 90s, and now, like, not really.
Well, there was a pause for NASA during what, like around like 2008 or something, and it was only recently like refunded. And so I wonder if some of it has to do with like there being more like NASA and like space activity that America was doing like in the 90s.
I would guess that honestly the NASA stuff is more of a symptom that like we stopped funding NASA because we were more concerned about like other threats.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and so I feel like I don't think, at least the way I'm looking at it, is like less funding for space travel on NASA, I don't think is a cause as much as it is a symptom to me that we got distracted with like terrorism and pandemics. And totally. We leaned into kind of like, when you think about like the sci-fi narratives, it'll be like, you know, fucking Contagion and zombie apocalypse stuff and like things that feel like.
We didn't
like,
even have a lot of space movies for a while.
Totally.
We just
I think
we're very
was,
interested.
Well, right. And you even think about the zombie stuff. And to me, that's kind of like biological warfare, even though it's like fully fantastical. But it's like in that same kind of thing of like disease and like, you know,
it's so, as fantastical as alien movies, though. Like, you know.
Oh, for sure. Oh, as absolutely like as just like randomly imagined, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we got like involved in like kind of the crazy like tech, like AI kind of side of things, like the Matrix and like.
Oh, and also a lot of like conspiracy theories about like aliens or like super intelligent life just being on Earth for a long time, like lizard people and ancient aliens kind of stuff started to catch on. But that's like different. It's a different flavor to me than like the Kang and Kodos, X-Files kind of version we had in the 90s.
Sure, I totally agree with that. But with all these kind of new fears and things that we're focusing on, things we weren't scared of, I guess, anymore. We're like, nobody's really fucking giving two shits about Area 51 and like little green men appearing. Like, we were like, whatever.
Yeah, we were.
I mean, some people cared, but it wasn't the big cultural phenomenon that it was.
We were worried about monitoring celebrities' virginity.
Absolutely, we were. We were like, tell us if you are a virgin on this national news platform.
It's our business.
It's our business. But while we were focused on that, it feels like some kind of large things happened that we haven't been paying a ton of attention to. Mm. So 3 years ago, pretty compelling footage of UFOs came from, was like released, I guess, if you will. And then last year, the ANIS 2020, the Department of Defense started a new UFO task force. Mm. And this year, the CIA started declassifying UFO docs.
They sure did.
But the interesting thing about this is it seems like we were all like a little distracted and had moved on from the aliens thing. Like we just
weren't really paying attention.
Yeah. And so I kind of want to start talking just a touch about these videos that came out like 3 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. So in the last 4 years, like a series of videos have come to light that are of Navy and Air Force personnel seeing and, you know, filming or, you know, videotaping kind of some sort of like perceived crafts that are moving in ways that we can't really imagine or comprehend. Mm-hmm. And 60 Minutes did a good piece on it. And you know how I feel about 60 Minutes.
Absolutely.
So L'Haim. And the kind of like things being thrown out is like, hey, this stuff is really compelling in the sense that there are aliens and or just like technology that we don't really understand at all. Like that those things could be out there or are out there. Something is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually pretty interesting. I want to get more into why just the existence of the footage existing is really compelling and interesting.
Yeah.
But I'll give you a little bit about just kind of some of the videos. So there's like a video that is honestly, it looks like a black dot kind of moving around. Mm-hmm. And essentially I would call it like dashboard footage, if you will, from like pilots.
Yes.
Okay. And it's just like of something that doesn't really make sense. And part of what's amazing about these videos coming out, like this footage existing, is that the U.S. government has always said that they don't have any UFO programs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know they were on the record about that. That's funny.
Yeah, that's just always been like the take.
Yeah.
But it was discovered that from 2007 to 2012, so this is pretty recent.
Ooh, and it's in the time when we were all looking the other way. Sorry, go on.
For sure. There was a program that existed from those 5 years called Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended in 2012. And that's where a bunch of this footage came from.
Oh, wow. I have heard of ATIP, but that's all. I skimmed over it and was like, I'm not that interested in aliens. And I moved on.
And now you're like, I don't know. Am I interested in aliens?
Now I'm like, I should have had more pause. Yeah.
Said, bitch, should we have gone to space camp? We can't know.
Yeah.
And so then in 2020, we started a new thing called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
So these Department of Defense videos, folks at the Pentagon are like, these are real videos.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think we have to really actually spend a moment acknowledging is like, that seems kind of like a moot point. To be like, yeah, there are people at the Pentagon or whatever being like, these are real. But it's for the first time, it's like not someone in a cornfield, like who like took a weird recording or like some unreliable person.
No, I think that
person.
Is a big deal. Yeah. Because it's also potentially a person who might want to hide that in order to avoid public hysteria. And so for that reason, I feel like it's even more legitimate because it's someone who might, if they saw that, might not want to share it.
Well, and I'll give you both sides of a coin on that, in my opinion. But
okay.
Again, it's not like this unreliable person of like, you know, 1986 being like, I was abducted, you know?
Mm-hmm. And but sometimes in these, like, and I've read just a teensy bit of that, as I mentioned earlier, a long time ago. And if I remember correctly, some of the like UFO items were like coming up on like instruments that the Navy had, not just like someone seeing it with their naked eyes.
Sure. And it's like, in terms of the like things being caught kind of on like, you know, I don't know, like sonar or whatever.
Yeah, it's that's
like
pretty the radars like, and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that shit picks up kind of all sorts of weird stuff. And that wouldn't necessarily be the most like like thing to be like, this is a UFO and it's crazy, because they're kind of more readily explanations for those kinds of mm-hmm. readings. But what's really interesting about this, though, is that so we've got the stuff. It's unidentifiable, but the footage is real and it's real naval footage. And people are saying that. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, and this isn't just because of how much I love a young Anthony Edwards, but the part of this that's really kind of interesting is like, I don't even know that I find like the footage itself really wild, like visually.
Yeah.
But the audio over it is like super over enthusiastic, like Top Gun pilots yelling about the footage. And these are guys who are like the best, like some of the best pilots in the world. Mm-hmm. And they're not guys who are going to be like excited or like shocked by a ton.
Right.
And
they've so like, seen a yes, lot of stuff.
And right, 100%. And they also like understand exactly. way more about like planes and things that That's fly what I mean. Than we Plane do. Stuff. And would be
they've
like,
seen it all. Yeah.
They've seen it all. They know what it is. They would be like, oh, that's like a plane. You know, I mean, we could see stuff and be like, what
yeah,
is
these
that?
Are
and
birds.
Someone else would be like,
these are
a plane.
Ice crystals. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So the guy's kind of perspective seems to be like, yeah, the video is impressive. But when we were there, it was like fucking nuts. But kind of one of the other cool things is like, it like listening to it, like these guys are not like terrified and being like, it's not like the Hollywood version of like, oh my God, I can't get missile lock on it. Blah.
Oh yeah.
It's like, they're just like excited. They're just like, what the fuck is this? This is great. Like, you know, that's the vibe. And again, like highly trained dudes seeing stuff that they can't figure out. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because we've, you know, a lot of folks are kind of like, looking at that as, I don't know, being, I guess, a different perspective. And it's interesting that, like, the Hollywood version of it is, like, okay, something like this would, like, really elicit fear. Mm-hmm. Because we're like, oh, it's something that's, like, smarter or more advanced. And there are a lot of obvious theories about the things in the videos, because it's like, okay, is it aliens? But, like, is it, like, China? Is it just, like, some other nation? Mm-hmm. Or is it the CIA? Is it some sort of special op that, like, not everyone knows about,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Is so, it just a weird group of Americans who got together to do it?
Totally. So there are debunkers out there. And one of the guys who created, like, Tony Hawk Pro Skater basically sure. spends his life now just, like, debunking shit, which thrills me.
I love this. This is, like, how MySpace Tom, unlike Mark Zuckerberg, just, like, sold his company for a few million dollars, bought an island, and he's just hanging out now, not ruining
Live
the world.
Live your life, MySpace Tom. Yeah. Live your life.
That's all. Go on.
That's it, and that's all. So Tony Hawk Pro Skater creator is out here debunking the videos. And his basic perspective on it is that it could be a balloon or like a plane that is being picked up on the little cameras that are on these naval planes. Mm-hmm. And the naval planes are like moving and shifting their focus. And so it can be kind of like a trick of like a lens. You know, you think sure. about how sometimes like your own eyesight, like as you move it, can shift like your perspective. Like, you know how you have like little floaters sometimes?
Mm-hmm, sure do. I make them
but
dance.
You can't focus on them.
Yep.
And we've all caught weird things on camera that are just like a weird perspective, and
yeah,
it's not really how it
an
looks.
Illusion. Yeah.
Totally.
The
and
heat
so that's
warbles
kind of
on the edge of your vision when you look out down the
totally.
Road.
Totally. Yeah. And so that honestly, for the video itself, sure, it could be like a fair,
yeah, satisfactory
like debunk.
Maybe.
Yeah, like just a plausible theory. But it's the pilots' reactions to me that like the testimonials, like the audio, I think is like way more compelling, honestly, than the footage.
I'm here for that. Yeah,
because I'm just like, well, these guys saw it and like they and saw it.
Just and as like, someone who attempts to take videos of things like in the night sky before, like I understand how poorly the night sky videotapes on my phone. You know, like I know that what they're seeing is like infinitely better and like more clear than what I'm looking at.
And that they're used to like being out there and seeing this.
Absolutely.
Kind of shit.
Yes.
So I also listened to a little bit of an interview with an ex-CIA guy named Mike Baker.
All right.
And he's talking about, there's this video that people are kind of calling like the Tic Tac video, like the mint, basically because whatever like the thing moving around is like kind of looks like a Tic Tac.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But when he's talking about that, he says, here's the thing. And I thought this was important, honestly, that he goes, listen, he's like, there is literally like no upside for a, like a Top Gun pilot to come back and say they saw a UFO. He's like, that's not great for your career. Like that, oh, like that yeah. would make you sound cuckoo.
Yeah.
And he's like, so you have to be like fairly confident that like you saw something and that it's like legit. And so it's like, yeah, you don't just see like a little skibbity bop and be like, you guys, like right. I saw, like these are decorated dudes.
No,
you
that's
know?
Like a police officer saying that a ghost committed the murder and like really exactly. pushing for that. Yeah.
Right. Yes. It would, that would be, you'd be like, okay, bruh.
Yeah. But he believes it. Yeah.
Okay. So the Navy released the footage ultimately, and they, you know, have said, like, we don't know what it is. And Mike, the CIA guy, he, you know, throws out, he goes, do we think, like, the Chinese or, like, somebody else were, like, testing something new? Mm-hmm. He goes, nah. And then his other thing was, he goes, you know, especially in the last couple of decades, he goes, I don't know, like, do I think it's like us? He goes, I don't think the U.S. government, like, especially recently, is, like, that great at keeping secrets. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. That was Mike's perspective. Sure, okay. Yeah. But that's what he's saying.
Yeah. According to Mike.
And then Mike's other thing is he goes, okay, is it like otherworldly? Is this like, you know, some sort of like non-human entity? Mm-hmm. And he goes, I don't know. So I'm not going to dismiss it.
Yeah.
And because of that, he's like, I think it's something we should look into. Mm-hmm. And so I thought this was interesting. Just this perspective of, I don't know, this dude being like, yeah, you don't come back and say that there's, you know, a fucking like UFO if you're like a highly decorated like fighter pilot. No. Like that's not a thing that you would be like, yeah, totally. And so that actually I thought was pretty compelling.
Absolutely.
One of the things about like the US government keeping secrets and like the CIA, you have to like, I guess, consider, okay, what would the agenda be for like the CIA or like some other US entity to say, hey, look at this footage we have, like there might be aliens.
Mm.
Okay, I go, okay, what's the advantage of that? And like the only real thing I can think of is like trying to like create some kind of scapegoat or distraction from something. But like, I just really think that like saying that there are aliens would be the last fucking thing they would, you know, that seems yes, crazy.
Yes, yes. It's, I think, much easier to use other nations as a distraction or like a sex scandal or something like that.
Totally.
However, I will say, if I'm just going to like for a second play devil's advocate on that.
Okay.
It could be advantageous to use aliens as a distraction because it's not another nation, and it could incite a panic without creating a human enemy, which would prevent like warfare happening amongst nations. Like it would be peaceful, but you could still incite fear for like maybe capitalist reasons if you wanted to, just arguing yeah. the other side.
No, totally. And I still think that there are better ways to do that than to say
there are
maybe aliens.
Yes, because so many less people would believe that. You have to go with the thing that the most people will believe.
I think that's right. I really do. It just doesn't seem like a plausible
no.
scapegoat.
No, it's too niche.
100%. So I kind of want to talk too then about something that I think is worth noting about this kind of footage and mm-hmm. just about alien stuff in general. One of the big things about aliens is that all these folks who have been, like, quote unquote, like, abducted or had some sort of encounter, sure, they never bring anything back. Like, there's no, like, evidence. There's no, like, we don't have some sort of, like, alien shrapnel that's, like, landed on Earth and that's, like, appeared on, like, a military base or there some sort of, like, evidence. There are rumors of
that, but nothing has yet been declassified to prove that it's true. There's some kind of rumblings about a mysterious metal, but we don't know for real.
Well, to this point, let's talk just very briefly about Roswell.
Yeah.
So, what is Roswell? Just, like, what's the whole deal? Why do people get hyped about Roswell? Other than a great WB and later CW slash
UPN?
I don't know, some other weird UPN. It was on UPN. Yeah. Man, it really jumped a shark when it went on UPN. Anyway. So, Roswell, basically, like, some sort of weird craft was found, like, 30 miles outside of Roswell in 1947. And the military came along and picked it up. And those folks said, like, oh, it's like it's a weather balloon initially. But that didn't stick because it didn't look like a weather balloon. And people were like, what are they hiding? Blah. Yeah. And so then in 1994, the info was released that it had some sort of, like, advanced sensor system. So it's, like, definitely, like, not a weather balloon.
Yeah.
But things got out of control because this stuff was, like, classified by the government because they didn't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So people thought it was aliens because they're like, why would you keep it a secret? And really, it seems plausible to me that all of that ish is just, like, you know, some other country or some other thing. But I feel like it incited all of this panic and all of this, like, alien war of the world stuff because they didn't, like, disclose what was going on. And so then people came up with, like, great, you know, I don't know, theories, you know?
Right. Like, if, for example, like, what it actually was that someone figured out how to, like, fuck with, like, electromagnetic technology. Like, a lot of people theorize that, like, that's what UFO stuff is. So say somebody in the 50s, like, in their basement, like, just, like, really got lucky and cracked the code on that, made this little thing that could fly with electromagnetic shit. Then it crashes. Everybody's like, what the fuck is that? The government scoops it up, has no idea because they haven't gotten lucky with those experiments. And so then they classify it because it's like, we don't want anybody to, like, figure this out before us. We have to study it. Then we assign it to aliens because pop culture will do that. And I feel like in the 50s, like, I don't know, that feels like the right time to be, like, worried about space stuff because it's, like, 10 years before we get, like, really deep into the space race. So it feels like culturally the right time to, like, assign extraterrestrial reasons to something found in the desert, maybe in a way that you wouldn't have in the 20s, perhaps. I don't know.
Totally. Well, and I think that's part of this stuff that's, like, interesting, too, about, like, Roswell and also just, like, any kind of idea that somehow the US government is, like, able to keep some big secret or hide, like, some UFO that's crashed here. Is here's the thing, think about how large this country is and then also how large the world is, and then the chances that, like, if there was, like, a UFO, like, landing or evidence or something, that it would somehow be, like, on a military base, like, that's just statistically improbable
unless it and was so, coming for the military base.
I mean, and the, right. And so, I mean, do with that what you will. But that kind of goes back to this thought of, like, aliens are, like, absolutely coming to be at war with us or something.
Well, we're a militant people, you know, so we make assumptions.
Listen, God and man's image, baby. But I think one of the other things, too, to, like, spend a little time with is, so UFOs, we've got this footage, like, this naval footage, it's exciting, it's compelling.
It is exciting, I'm not gonna lie.
No, hundo P. But here's the thing. So, UFOs, like, cameras have gotten better and better and better. And you think about all those, like, crazy, like, television, like, you know, this person being like, look at this picture of this UFO I took do. In, like, the 80s and the 90s. And if they were taken today, it would be taken on an iPhone. And like everyone has a fucking recording device and like a camera on them at all times.
And a tracking device. Yeah, go on.
The number of these accounts about aliens have gone down. And yet everybody has like this way of documenting things. And this really made me think about something else we've talked about at an earlier time on this show. So go into the archives if you're into it. But it made me think about cryptozoology and all these Bigfoot pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And like when cameras were shittier and technology was worse, it's like way easier to have something that it's like, what's really happening in this photo? And like, is this Bigfoot? It's like easier for fakes to be like unclear.
Blurry. Yeah.
Right. Because the cameras suck. Yeah. But like if you're out here like balling out with your, you know, fucking iPhone 12 or whatever, like honestly, it's pretty
too good to fake it.
It's too good to fake it. It kind of is. And yeah. Like everyone has one now, but we're hearing way less of people being like, look at this thing in the sky. So
I don't know. I also wonder if as we get used to better and better technology, like also people's like, or younger people at least, like our media literacy gets better. And so I think like we become more skeptical and maybe we don't like believe images as quickly as we once did.
Yeah, I think that's true too. And I think like, you know, even the fact that people, you know, that people are so aware of the editing of photos these
days.
This
is what
I'm
saying.
Haters will say it's Photoshopped. Like, yes. Listen, you know? Mm-hmm. Everybody's aware of that in a way that I agree. Like, I think we're less likely to just, like, fall for something silly. Mm-hmm. So, with that said, why is thinking about aliens important? Even right,
it's
like, why should we be
really important? I don't know. It and feels kind of important. I feel like we shouldn't never think about it. You know,
well, our boy, you know, Mike Baker is like, yeah, if this is the thing, I think we ought to look into it. I don't know what it is, so maybe we should be. And I think that's a kind of a big and profound question because I feel like, again, like I said at the top, the are there aliens and like, is there a God feel pretty similar. Mm-hmm. And I think people, you know, over the pandemic, I feel like maybe there's a little bit more of a thought again about aliens. You know, people have been mm-hmm. locked down, so people are looking
more
up a little bit. And
for that.
Yeah. And also going like, well, what could we learn? Because mm-hmm. we've like experienced something that it's like, what's the information? And if you're hoping maybe this, you know, alien entity, this could be really intelligent. It's like, could you solve our problems? Mm-hmm. That's where we get a little gaudy, mm-hmm. you know,
absolutely.
Of this idea that like, oh, these super smart aliens, I think like the ideal version is like, oh yeah, these like really smart beings are going to appear and they're going to be like, hey, like we fixed global warming for you. Like you're accidentally like maybe going to blow up your planet, mm-hmm. but here's this like little pin drop of never ending energy that you've like never heard about. And that's where it feels like a little godly. Like, yeah, sure. We've got like the cure to like AIDS mm-hmm. and saving the planet. Here you go. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think people project that as being a possibility.
Yeah, I think
of something from aliens. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the Jesus New Testament version of God. But the downside, I think, for aliens is the Old Testament
Absolutely.
Version of God.
Yes. And that's, you know, there's good and bad to that Old Testament God, though. That's the same alien God that helped build those, you know, 6 or 7 pyramids.
Well, listen, okay. The downside is like, could aliens be hostile? It's all this warfare stuff mm-hmm. that we're talking about. And the thought really is like, maybe there could, honestly, there are like 3 choices. Like if that we have these smart beings, they could either be like friendly or hostile or ambivalent. Mm-hmm. And that means there's like a third of a chance that they would be hostile.
Yeah, no, there
and
is.
And so then it's like, do you want to engage? Do you want to like get into that? And it's this idea of like, you know, should this be something we like really care about? And should this be something we fear? And when you talk about fearing them, then I think you really have to ask yourself, should we be more afraid of aliens or humans?
Mm-hmm. Well, we know humans are a sure thing that we're bad, you know, but
yeah.
Aliens, there's a possibility that they're not.
Well, we can't know. I don't know.
I do feel like the rules of the universe, though, like, are survival, like, in the ways that, like, survival of the fittest works on Earth. I would imagine, at least on the planets that we have, you know, taken a peek at that are close to us, that the same kind of rules would apply, you know, that you would have to adapt and survive and be the best in your environment, which can lead to, you know, eating others, taking things that aren't yours, doing anything to survive. So in that way, I could see hostility being on the table.
Okay. All right. All right. That's fair. I think the other thing there, though, too, of like being afraid of humans is like being afraid of humans in space, because space is already militarized.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, nations mess with other nations' satellites, and we had this initial space race, but we're kind of in another space race for this like hypersonic technology.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be, you know, an unmanned like hypersonic aircraft, or like really in the future, maybe something like hypersonic that's manned.
Mm-hmm.
And the big players really, I feel like, are people talk about are like the US and China, but like Russia too.
Yeah.
And they're are a lot of military desire to be on top, and that drives a lot of this stuff in space. And hypersonic stuff would be able to beat like all of the early detection systems we have now. And so potentially, I think a lot of folks would tell you we should be more worried about the man-made occupation of space than aliens.
I would agree with that, because once again, I will circle back on the fact that like we can be certain that humans are attempting to militarize space, as you said, but with aliens, you know, they could be touring. We're not sure.
We can't know. I mean, well, we maybe we could, but we don't know right
at
now.
At this time, space juncture.
And those are a lot of the things being thrown about because of this video footage and things people, you know, thought about during the year. But you can also, we can even get more theoretical and over the top and talk about the theory of us being aliens.
Oh, I'm really here for that theory. And once again, I'm going to urge you to watch Prometheus.
Okay, well, here we go. But that theory of like us being aliens basically is like we were somewhere else and we like came to Earth to start over. And like, I don't know, we like blew up our ships and tried again. But it's kind of like the aliens is the architect's theory. And like, we came from somewhere else and started here, but like, we don't know about it. So I don't know, something to consider, something to think about.
Something that's potentially not off the table. I don't know. I'm open to it.
Do you, what's your thermometer read on that? Do you feel like that's like plausible?
I feel like there's like some pretty good solid evidence for evolution on the Earth. And so like in that way, I kind of feel like I know how we developed. But I could always argue that that original single cell organism was dropped here from someone else with the intention
of evolving
and creating, you know, all different kinds of life. Because maybe someone saw the Earth as like, you know, kind of a viable primordial pool to drop life into. So, you know.
Yeah, maybe we're just the petri dish for some other way smarter beings.
Like when Lisa Simpson makes that little civilization in a petri dish with her tooth and it like gets struck by lightning. Guys, it's a Halloween episode. Go back and
it's a really good one. That's a great one, actually.
And they think that Bart is the devil. And anyway, it's not important, but it's very good.
Shout out to the True House of Horror. It'll always be important to me.
We could be that. Yeah, we could be that dish.
We could be Lisa Simpson's tooth.
Yes.
Okay. But I kind of just wanted to get a touch of a thermometer read from you on what would it take to convince you definitively that there are aliens.
Ooh, wow, that's a fun question. Okay.
Would you have to like see it for yourself? Would you have to like fucking interact, be abducted? Could someone else see it and that would be convincing enough? And if someone else seeing it would be convincing enough, like who could see it that would be convincing enough? You know what I mean? Like, what does it take?
I think that like a close personal friend could see it. And like, if you saw it, I would be, and you told me about it, I would believe you.
Would I be more compelling than if like the Air Force was like, people were like, really?
Because there could be reasons, like the conspiracy theory, like part of my brain, like that doesn't trust like the government or military in any way, like would, I think, just rapidly accelerate if like the military came forward with like, hey, here's like these aliens. I would be like, okay, what's the motive? Like, why are you trying to make people think about this? Like, is this a hey, look over here technique? But if you told me that, I wouldn't think you were trying to distract me from like putting like chlorine in the water or something. You know?
What level of evidence would I have to have? Like, or another close, trusted person in your life? Like, what would we have to tell you about to convince you that there were aliens?
I think just like from you, I would accept like a full verbal account, but I would also, I would want to make sure that, like, there was no possibility you were drugged, I think.
I mean, there's always a possibility I've been drugged.
That's true. And so I would prefer, like, if you could have, I don't know, any kind of physical artifact could potentially help convince me, I think. If you could explain like some like large scale events that had happened, like if you were able to, after meeting these aliens, like re-explain the coronavirus or like 9/11, like under new terms that like like made complete sense, like
so you're looking for them to be like really fucking smart.
Oh, I guess. Oh shit. No, because they could just be like little like teensy bacterias.
Or they could be like just kind of whatever. But again, it's that belief that if they somehow got here, like how dumb are they, you know?
Unless they were sent here by something smarter. There could be that.
That, I mean, that's true.
Something
that is
dumb
super true.
Sent here by something smart.
It's certain. I'm listen, we put dumb people on airplanes every
day.
God bless.
Wouldn't that be the best way to go if you were, Well, I'll be skeptical.
Say more.
Well, it just feels like perhaps like really a smart thing to do to like if say, you know, say way in the future, humans have developed a way to like intergalactically travel. So like we find another planet with some kind of species that's like at the level humans are at now. So basically I'm flipping the script to like in the future when like we are the aliens with the super technology to visit other places.
Mm-hmm.
If we potentially were like wanting to test out a world to like move to because we'd ruined our own, which is like, you know, a theme that humans choose for alien movies a lot because we're worried about ruining our own world.
And as we should be. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So say we did that. We could potentially, rather than loading up a spaceship with humans and sending them into like a potentially hostile environment, we could, I would think we'd have the technology for this, maybe create some kind of little like bacteria or like single celled organism that also like could send back like monitoring stuff to us, like when you chip a shark. Maybe we could send that to the other planet and it could grow over time, change and evolve, keep sending us signals back. And that would be like an insidious way to like learn about the planet and have something there growing for like a long time. Kind of War of the Worlds style, you know, like those big spiders had been under the ground for God knows how long growing.
God knows how
just waiting.
Long.
Yeah. So we could do that, and then once we're sure it's safe and prepared for us, we could go ourselves. So who's to say that someone didn't send a teensy tiny alien here on a scouting mission?
Who's to say?
Yeah.
Well, before we pivot into a verbal game, do you have any closing thoughts or feelings about aliens? And did my discussion of this recent video kind of footage, does it make you like believe more in some sort of intelligent life being closer than maybe we suspect?
It makes me believe the same, I think, because I don't know, I've been like in the same spot with aliens for a while where I'm like, I feel pretty sure like that they exist, but like the UFO reports, I'm not sure. So jury is still out, but I do think it's really interesting. And I am encouraged by the fact that we're all like talking about it. And I think it feels better for the Air Force or Navy or whoever to say like, hey, like we're just looking at these things and we don't know what they are, but we did see them. Like that feels better than saying like, there's no ships over here, you know, because then it's like, well, so you know something about the ships, but...
So you've heard of these ships.
So yeah, I don't know. I think it's been interesting and like encouraging, and I hope that just like humans are cautiously curious about it moving forward.
I think that's right. Cautiously curious. I don't know that I expect some sort of connection with super intelligent life from, you know, another place to be something I encounter, like the world encounters in my lifetime or anything like that. But I don't know. We can't know. I do certainly think that there's like other life out there, but I also think that if there's other life out there, it's not just like one other intelligent civilization. And why would we be their first stop?
I know.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, because there's nothing else in our solar system, at least, that's livable for us. But look at me making assumptions that aliens have the same biological needs that I do. Wow.
It's true. You're making everybody a sapien. Look at you doing it again.
I can't get out of it. Yeah. God damn.
Well, on that note, I believe it's time to pivot into a verbal game. So cue the vibraphone.
Cue it.
So, I'd like to propose a few different fictional versions of our space obsession.
Oh my God, I'm ready.
For you to kind of engage in a three choices with rules scenario. Mm-hmm. The three choices with rules being, one of these, you are going to spend your whole, like the whole rest of your life in this kind of world.
Okay.
The other, you're going to spend a year in.
Mm-hmm.
And then one, you will just like not have to visit. Okay. But like life as you know it is over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the obvious choice of one of these like fictional sci-fi alien obsessed worlds to live in that would be really fun would be the X-Files. And that is why I am not offering that as a choice.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
The worlds in which you could live in are War of the Worlds. Men in Black, which I need you to understand that, like, America's Finest is Will Smith in that movie. Or you're with your girl Susan Weaver on the ship.
Oh, God. Space flight stresses me out.
Also, there's, like, an alien killing people on that space flight. Don't forget.
I know.
I mean, there are aliens killing people in all of these situations, though.
But you're trapped in the ship in one of them, and I won't forget that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to forget.
So... if I choose my whole life as alien with Susan Weaver, does that mean I'm on the ship for my whole life? Or
yes.
Okay. Then I'm going to choose that for
you're
1 year.
You're in the world of Alien, which is, I think, on the ship the whole time, right?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. So then I'm going to be on the ship. This is going to be so difficult. Susan and I are going to be just holed up together eating our clothing
in those white briefs
that we eventually will have to eat hiding from the alien for an entire
year. Why do you have to
year?
Eat your clothes?
What else are we going to eat on the ship for a year?
I don't know.
At Didn't least they're drenched with the oils of our sweat.
Maybe you have to eat the bodies of the other people who are dead now.
Oh, we'll definitely
like that
have
movie
to do
about
that.
The soccer team that crashes into the side of a mountain.
Right, right.
You're going to be a cannibal.
Cool. So that one includes cannibalism. So I'll do that for a year.
It seems like.
Yeah, I'll do that for a year because.
Fuck, dude.
Because, listen, there's an Earth to return to in that one. Like.
Oh.
In Men in Black and in War of the Worlds, like, I don't know what I would do because, like, the world is kind of fucked. And so, like, in Alien, like, it's on the ship. Hopefully, like, we kill them all and we don't bring it back. But at least after a year, I can be like, oh, my God, like, it's over. So that's my 1 year.
So then how are you spending the rest of your life then? Which one are you returning to?
I think a Men in Black situation I will return to.
But I thought you said they were destroying the Earth. And so you wouldn't do...
They were. But I have to pick one of them. I can't live on the ship forever. Listen, because that's personally my whole life. I feel that in like a Men in Black situation, maybe I could find a way to live in like a remote location on an island, perhaps, and be like away from it. But the way that War of the Worlds is laid out, like I don't feel that there's anywhere I could go to escape that.
Oh wow. Okay.
And so I think it's more about thinking about like, okay, what I'm going to live like another how many years? Hopefully another 100, but you know, that's wishful thinking. Even still, maybe I could survive that long in a Men in Black scenario, but in World Worlds, definitely not. Or at least like none of my friends would be alive. And so, yeah, one of those scenarios, War of the Worlds, I have to get rid of totally. Spend a traumatic year with Sigourney, and in that reality, return to a regular Earth. And then in my full life space-time continuum, it will be a Men in Black situation.
Yeah, I'm similar but different. I definitely choose Men in Black as my full life. Like, that's the move.
Like, you're throwing out the ship, though, Susan?
Oh, my God. I would never be, like, trapped in, like, a confined space where I was being hunted for a year.
Do you feel that that's more triggering to think about post-COVID?
I don't know. I just actually find it horrifying, but I don't know if that has any COVID juju on it. It's a good question.
Yeah, but regardless,
I mean, the fact that we would have to but I mean, it involves cannibalism. It does. I'm definitely not choosing it.
Yeah.
No, I would do War of the Worlds, I think, for a year.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, it's not great, but like, I do feel more confident in like my ability to like hide somewhere than I do on this fucking spaceship with the alien.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm realizing now that since it's over,
doesn't the alien have
a
baby at some point? Oh, like, stop. Don't they like start multiplying on the fucking ship because they like start coming out of people?
They do. There's more than one, and then they come back.
And then what if they take your only friend, Susan?
And
then it's just you.
I can't do it without Suze.
No, you can't do it without Suze.
No, because I just hide and she takes care of them, you know? What would I do without her?
Oh, she's doing all the... I mean, because that isn't that how Alien ends? Sorry, spoiler alert, people. Turn this off if that's something you care about. But doesn't everyone die but her?
100%. She's a sole survivor. That's Sigourney's deal.
I fucking hate that so much.
I know. There's literally like a transmission with Earth where she's like labeled a sole survivor.
I hate that. I hate it so much. I'm not being a part of Alien, but I did enjoy watching all of the movies.
It was
summer.
A fun summer. Yeah.
Yeah, listen, if you guys are looking for a summer blockbuster, might
Highly
I suggest
recommend.
Going through all the Aliens and or right now all of the Fast and the Furious if you're trying to get on my level.
And
okay?
I would like to additionally recommend not watching Alien 4, but rather swapping it for Prometheus, which is still a Ridley Scott film, but is more current and is a prequel to all the Alien films.
Look at that, you guys. It's you heard fun. It here first.
Charlize, she's beautiful.
I mean, you didn't hear that here first. People have been saying that for a long time, but Jamie just affirmed, you know?
I guess I had to say it. It wasn't important at all.
You know, I would argue that it was. So if you've got opinions on Charlize Theron's beauty, if you've got opinions on aliens... I can't. If you've got feelings on aliens and if you would spend a year of your life with our friend Susan Weaver on a spacecraft where you're being hunted for 365 days, we would like to hear about it. Okay?
I'll be there.
Okay. Jamie will be there getting killed. So as always, you can let us know on the internet via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. Cadets, thank you for reporting for your mission. We hope you blasted off and in a non-challenger kind of way.
In a finger-blasting kind of way.
Yeah, absolutely, in a finger-blasting kind of way. Absolutely. I hope you finger-blast every time you listen to this podcast. That's just a light
Good
suggestion. Pairs well with finger-blasting, okay? and on that note, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.